Stay tuned for a special edition of the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast. Welcome to the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast, where we dissect the deal before your eyes and ears so you can discover the strategies and tactics that got each deal to the finish line. Strategies and tactics that you can put in your own toolbox to get you to the closing table. From sourcing the deal, raising, due diligence to the property takeover, Multifamily Deal Lab shows how you too can get the deal done. And now here's your host, David Lindahl.
Everybody, welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab. I'm your host, Dave Lindahl. And I am with Brian Burke. And Brian, why don't you tell everybody who you are, where you're from?
My name is Brian Burke. I'm from Santa Rosa, California. I'm the managing director at Praxis Capital, a real estate private equity firm based north of San Francisco.
Ah, sweet. Okay, so talk about the latest deal that you did. Is this your first deal or is this one of some?
This is one of some. I've got 700 under my belt now, but
700 units, nice.
700 properties, but on the multifamily side, I've done just under a half a dozen deals now on the multifamily, just approaching 1,000 units.
Nice, excellent. How long did it take you to get to 1,000?
It took me about 6 years. I think I took your apartment house class in about 2008. And that's when I started in large multifamily. Before that, I had a 16-unit, a bunch of fourplexes, duplexes, and that kind of thing.
All right, good. So then what was your first deal after your first larger one after you left the boot camp?
You know, it's funny. I actually closed it while I was at the boot camp.
Oh, wow.
I had a 60-unit deal that I had in contract just before the boot camp when I repeated it. So I took the class the first time and learned what I needed to learn, and then I got a deal in contract. When I repeated the class, I closed it while I was at the class.
Oh, sweet. So what was the what was the acquisition fee?
The acquisition fee was 3% of about $1.5 million. So it was so 40 grand.
Yeah, about 45,000. So so you paid me about anywhere between 2,000 to 4,000, depending on what you paid in the boot camp. The prices differ, and you made 45,000. Is that a deal?
Yeah, I think it worked out.
Good. So talk about how you got that very first deal, that 60 unit, the larger one.
I'd started to look out of California for real estate and started looking into Texas because California's market was totally overheated. So in my searches around Texas, I decided that if I'm going to go that far, I wanted to do something larger and not look for a single family house and look for multifamily. So I just started looking around on LoopNet to figure out who the brokers are that were getting deals done. It was a tip that I picked up from you out of the first round I went to the boot camp. And, you know, I kind of learned who was getting it done and talked to everyone, find out what they had. And I landed this one. You know, one of the brokers said, we've got this one, take a look at it. I did.
How long did it take you for that broker to get you a deal? Because everybody's always wondering, how long does it take, you know, after I talked to a broker the first time?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It probably took maybe 6 months. It was a while, you know. It's I had been pitched a lot of deals and looked at a lot of them, but you know, just trying to be very conservative. This was the first one I could get that worked.
It takes a while to get your foundation built when you're first.
It does. Yeah, you gotta build trust with them. They gotta know that you're real, that you can get it done, and they test you. You know, they'll throw you a bad deal to see if you bite on it.
Yeah.
And you know, they want to know if you're a sucker or if you're smart.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so then you progressed to this latest deal that you did, 276 units?
276 units, yeah, and we've done a couple in between. You know, we've done a 54-unit that we bought, fixed, and resold, and then we bought a couple of 140-unit deals. And
how much did you make on the one you resold? So you bought? Did you buy it in the purpose of fixing it up and reselling it quickly, or did you hold it for a few years, or what happened with that one?
Well, what happened was it was 54 units in Austin, Texas, and we bought it with the purpose of holding it for 5 years. But what ended up happening is after 18 months, we looked at the income and realized we'd hit our targets for year five.
Oh, wow.
And we just said, you know what? We could sell now and really maximize our investors' IRR. We doubled our investors' money in 21 months, start to finish. And made a really nice profit for ourselves. So it was just one of those things where, you know, sometimes you get out early.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes the smartest decisions you make is to move on.
Yeah, and we bought that deal for $800,000 and sold it for $2.6 million. We put about $700,000 into fixing it up.
Sweet. Those investors must have been pretty happy.
They were very happy.
I'm sure they're with you on these newer deals as well.
Well, they are, and I think that's what makes that's what fuels your growth. You know, when you can produce a result for an investor, they're going to come back and invest with you again and again and again, and that's how we've built our investor base. I've raised $25 million since I took your syndication boot camp, and wow. It's all been organic growth through word of mouth and investors coming back.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, so let's talk about this bigger deal, 276 units. How did you come across it? Where is it located?
It's located just north of Houston, Texas, right near the ExxonMobil campus, which is the largest construction project in North America. We're about three exits from that project. I've been looking. We sold a 140-unit property not too far from here earlier this year, and I've been looking for another one, and all the brokers knew it, and I was, you know, my goal was to underwrite one deal a day. And, you know, if I my average is if I can underwrite 100 deals, make offers on about 10 of them, I can buy one. It took me about 140 deals of underwriting to find this one, but it totally blew away all of my pro forma, and we got a great deal on it. And it just took a lot of time and a lot of searching.
That's quite a commitment and definitely discipline, because it definitely takes discipline to do this business. You got to do a little bit every day. All right, so 276 unit. What was the purchase price?
$12.2 million.
What was the raise?
$5,350,000, and I raised it in 2 weeks.
Well, with the results you get from your other deals, I can see why.
Right.
So that's good. Were your investors bringing their friends into the deal as well?
They were. A lot of the investors were ones that had cycled out of previous deals, but half of the investors were brand new and first-time investors that were referred by other investors or by word-of-mouth referrals. They'd seen us in the press or whatever it may be. But out of the raise, even though half of the investors were existing investors, they brought three-quarters of the money because, you know, they had, each time the investors would invest in the next deal, they would invest more than they did in the first one.
Yeah, they don't tell you how much money they have until you perform for them, and then all of a sudden they have a lot more money.
That's right.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. So where do you find your investors? What did you take out of that syndication boot camp that allowed you to go out and get $25 million worth of investors?
Well, it started out with just friends and family and, you know, just kind of going out, well, more friends than family because my family didn't have any money. So just kind of going out there and actually I was I left a law enforcement career just before I took that syndication boot camp. And I kind of told everybody at the station house, I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice and you all need to come to this room. I'm going to hold a little seminar on what I'm doing with my real estate business. And I went in there and told everybody what I was doing. And I walked out of the room with $500,000 and 28 investors with guns.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
So that was kind of where it got started. And from there, it was just a matter of utilizing those funds to produce a track record, produce results, get noticed by people that saw that track record and results. And it grew completely organically over time.
Nice. Because not only did you get them in good quality deals, but I'm sure you communicated with them on a regular basis. And that's
communication is key. Absolutely. Communication and performance. If you can do those two things, you can raise money.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so 276 units, $12.2 million, $5.2 million raise or something like that. Any value add?
A lot of value add. We're putting in almost $3 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that means you're going to be all in at like 15.2.
Yeah, it'll be just costs. Under. I think our all in is going to be around 14.8, somewhere 14.9. And then we've got, you know, we're doing a complete exterior renovation, complete every interior needed to be upgraded. We've owned the deal since July. We've already completely re-sited all 276 units, exterior paints in process, landscaping, parking lot, you know, full interior. We've got about 28 done so far and 200 and something to go.
What was the occupancy going in?
The occupancy going in was 92.
Oh.
And
So you found a performing yet tired asset? And
exactly.
Is it a B or a C?
It's a C-ish, C-plus-ish. We're going to make it a B-minus.
So it must be in a B area.
It is. It's in a B-plus to A area, actually. It's surrounded by A properties and office.
Okay, so going in, what were your numbers? What was your cash-on-cash return?
Going in, we're expecting year one to be relatively flat.
Yeah.
As we implement the value add, but going up over time, it's going to hit about 7 to 8%. Actual distributions to the investors by year two, And then an overall average of about 14% cash on cash.
Annualized when the deal's done? Average cash on cash. Okay.
Yeah, just cash on cash, not including the exit.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think it's going to be worth in 3 to 5 years?
I think it's going to be worth 20.
Nice. So that's a healthy profit. What does that do to the IRR or annual rate of return?
The IRR would be just about 18% if we exit in 10 years, but it could be a lot more if we exit at year three. And so what I do is I tend to underwrite with a 10-year horizon because we don't know if we're going to enter into an adverse cycle at some point during our hold period. So we want to be able to plan out for a long-term play. But really what we do is we fix it up, and then now we're looking for the right exit point. And that right exit point might be in 2 years after we've upgraded half the property and boosted the income, or it might be in 3, 4, or 5 years. And so obviously if we can hit that $20 million price point earlier, that IRR goes up substantially.
Yeah, absolutely. So what advice would you give to someone that's just starting out?
I think the best advice I can give is to actually get started. Get something under your belt, even if it's a single family deal. If you've never done a real estate deal, do something so that you can start to build a track record and show people that you can actually execute. I think that getting funds from outside investors is key, because you know, even if you're starting small and getting 20 grand from someone to help you with a house flick, you know, when you go to do your next deal, they might have more money or have more friends. And really that's how you grow, is through that organic process. And if you don't get started and actually do a deal, that organic process is never allowed to happen.
What was the big mistake you made that you want to share with everybody so that they don't make it as well? Because every deal or every career has mistakes. So what did you encounter that you didn't expect?
A slow start. I didn't expect that. You know, I bought my first real estate investment 25 years ago. I really started off very, very slow. I didn't do a lot in the first 10 years, and I really wish I had. I think if I would have got educated a lot earlier in my career, it would have helped me get a jump start. Instead, I forced myself to educate myself through the School of Hard Knocks, and that takes a long time.
A lot of books from Amazon and the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Dave. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all that you've done for me and for others. And, you know, I certainly appreciated the educational boost that I got and helped me get where I am today.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you for taking action, because, you know, we can teach all we want, but people don't go out and use it, then it's, you know, it's useless information. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Now let's listen to David interview Bill Johnston.
So how many deals have you done?
I started in Austin in 2010, and I just, you know, based on, you know, what I learned from you, I searched a couple of towns. I went to Raleigh, North Carolina. I went to Austin. Where else did I go? Ended up in Austin, and on my first trip there, I saw a 16-unit place I wasn't planning to buy, and I ended up buying it. And I met a woman who was working as a manager for the owner, and she actually owned some other apartments, and she was looking for extra work, and she was keen to manage it. So now I had a manager. Because at the time it was tough in Austin. They'd been overbuilt a few years ago, so it was really tough. There were distressed properties. And so I got seller financing for like 85%, and ended up, in hindsight, paying way too much. But that was fine. I was in the market. I was learning. And this woman, the manager, was very helpful. Then the property next door came available about 8 months later, quite a bit cheaper, another 16-unit place, and another chance of, you know, pretty high leverage seller financing. And I then said, I had a credit line on my home here, and I took some money from there and bought that. And then that was in June 2011.
That was a good time to be buying.
Oh, yeah. But it was still sleepy there. I mean, people were very excited. They were still feeling burnt out by 2008 and 2009, and burnt out by they crashed earlier because they'd overbuilt so much.
Yeah.
So it kind of poked along for a couple of years. Then I was talking to a friend who asked me what I was doing, and he had some money from some sort of buyout. And I told him, he said, well, you know, if you're ever looking for an investor, I'd be interested. So I showed him some of the math of how it would work. And he said, well, show me something when you've got something. So I sent him a couple of things. And the third thing was a 70 unit place in Austin again. And looked at it, and he was interested, and we made a joint venture arrangement and bought it. Then Austin kind of started creeping up. All of a sudden rents were going up, and was very much, the buyers started to come to town. And so, you know, we kind of did upgrades, and you know, these were C minus properties. Yeah. So there was all sorts of little issues, and I learned a lot, I'll tell you. But by middle of 2014, it was soaring in Austin. And I decided now's the time to sell. Don't wait. And so I started looking for another market. And one of the things that's been invaluable to me is your monthly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting it for 2 or 3 years. I always look at your little emerging market notes, and they were always my lead ideas of places to check out. So that was really valuable. And that's a really good magazine, really good magazine.
Thanks.
And so I started thinking about where to go if I could find something that made sense. And I flew down to Atlanta. You know, I looked at some properties there. I went to Tampa, I looked at property there. But by the time I got to Atlanta, it was a year too late. I could tell already, it started to move again.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at Denver, but I didn't go out there. No, Boulder, and then I didn't go out there. And then you had a couple of things over a year on Columbus. It wasn't like this is gangbusters, but then I started, but you featured it twice.
Yeah.
And I liked the fact that I'm in Toronto, I could get in my car and drive. That seemed a nice change after flying to Texas and connecting all the time. So, but the prices were really low and per door, and there was still distressed properties. And I saw one of the places I had been using was LoopNet, just to see what has sold and what had happened. And that's a good way to find agents, I found, with LoopNet. At least you can see agents who sold properties like you might want to buy.
Yeah.
So I found that's been a great way to find, at least get agents and their phone numbers. And I phoned this one agent, said, I saw you sold this big package of 640 units. And I said, that looked amazing. He said, well, believe it or not, that deal fell through 2 days ago. And so it's all been broken up into four different apartments. And so I said, oh, well, he said, and I said, well, there's a couple look kind of interesting. He said, well, they're now available. And so I got in the car next morning and drove down and looked at them. So they would look good. But then I had to get bank financing, but my investor was interested in rolling over, selling the properties in Texas. So we put in an offer, or got it under contract, but had to hold it a while, but they weren't too worried about having to hold it, so we could sell in Texas. And we ended up getting 270 units there.
Nice.
Yeah. And now I'm working, and you know, I've done your course on managing the manager.
Yeah.
Which is really great, because I'm using but I also had your course on management, because before I was just working with a hired manager. Now I'm working with a management company. And that course is really good, managing the manager.
Yeah, it's good.
There was a couple times I consulted with Jeannie, and there was one other manager you had working with you. I can't remember who I consult with, and were fantastic. And at one point early on, they were gonna look like there was a couple of bumps. They would, you know, for a fee, they would come to the property and help work through the problem. So that's a really good resource you offer for sure. Especially to people in the early years of trying to manage things and make sure it's going as well as it should.
Yeah.
So, but now I'm working with a management company, and it costs more for sure, but there's no question
you factor into the deal.
Oh my God, it's so much easier.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. What advice would you give to somebody that was just starting out?
I'd say to read your book for one. With a good book, it's a good primer on understanding the basic principles of emerging markets.
Yeah.
Nobody else touched on that. So I have to read the book, and it's got all the resources in your book of how to get to the next level with you, which is your all your fantastic workshops, your literature, your online resources, everything else. So I think that's what I would say first. Just, you want to understand, get a primer on how to judge emerging markets and when you should or should not be buying and everything else. And so with that knowledge, then you can really enter your world and feel that you're not like complete neophyte. So, and then if you haven't got any money, then you're going to have to get involved with you and how to help figure out how to work with investors and sell investors and pitch investors and everything else, which is very valuable. But if you've got a little money of your own, which I did, that helped me get my first property. And then once you're in the market, you really, things start to change. You really, you know, when you start, you know, when you go down, I was going down every month at the beginning, and then every second month after a while. But then I'd always go out with the agents that I met and tour properties, see what was happening, get a sense. And then you'd get, you'd be sent the listings, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, then, you know, with this one investor I had, you know, if the deal looked good, he was good to go with it.
So what was the, what would you say was the biggest surprise that came up during your deals that you didn't expect? Is there one thing that jumps out?
Whoever's managing your property is really, really important.
Yeah,
you know?
They're the key.
That is everything. So, you know, we had some bumps. The woman I had in Texas was a brilliant manager. On one hand, the units were always full, even when Austin was a little soft on vacancy. She always had the full, people always wanted to be in her buildings because she liked to build community, which is fantastic. But she was horrible on the admin side, like horrible. She was like, when I discovered this about a few months in, that she was struggling in Excel to kind of keep the books. It was like, so that, you know, it's really important you try and learn and understand, and you offer those resources for people to really understand the nuts and bolts of management.
You need to know what the managers know. You don't have to be efficient at it, but you need to know what they need to know in order to run your property so you can ask that manager.
It makes such a difference. I mean, you could just trust somebody, but you're not going to do nearly as well. And, you know, I think the fear of everybody, and I'm sure you've probably over all your deals, is if it ever starts negative cash flow, that's a scary, scary time.
Sure is.
So it's really important to be as educated as you can.
Yeah.
And it's just the best business in the world if you've got the knowledge and you're careful, but you've got the guts to kind of just go out and do the first one. And I think the other thing, somehow, somewhere, have some cash reserve, have some credit line always there for an emergency, ideally. I would say that.
Yeah, you can do that. Some people might be listening thinking, how am I going to do that? I'm broke, you know, but you can do that by raising that reserve inside of from your private money people.
Absolutely. Dave, I came in and started to get a sense of the private money at the your boot camp in San Diego,
yeah,
which was fantastic. My son's working with me a bit, and if he's got the energy, we may start doing some of that now.
Mm-hmm.
But with 270 units, there were just a lot of kind of startup stuff going on. And yeah, for sure, the private camp is a really important thing. And I've met some people who have watched, because I'm on their mailing list, and you would know them, I can't remember the names, who I think out of that camp in San Diego have done really well. A couple of them, I get some really good mailings from them, or electronic mailings, and yeah, you can see what they're doing, you see what they're putting together, you can see a really good sense of how they're working with investors and how successful they've been.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very exciting.
It all starts with education, educating yourself somehow.
A pleasure, Dave, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad I met you. I would have done none of this if I hadn't gotten connected with you, none.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you, taking action steps and you know, moving forward, because that's what it's all about. You know, you can educate yourself, but you don't take action, then nothing happens. And
yeah, the key is take the first step. I don't care how small it is. Somehow just take a chance,
yes.
You know?
An educated risk.
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast, where the deals get done. If you'd like to learn more, visit davesfreebook.com. And don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review, and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.